body and brain. It can make us more likely to lie, more likely to cheat, make mistakes at work, and even see things that we don't normally see. I've been there. Maybe you have too. Maybe you're there this morning. Because sometimes, living in ways that seem to embrace the dark side is, through our eyes, necessitated by the lack of visible options. Sometimes we can't see a way forward. We've been in darkness so long, we don't know how to step out of it. Sometimes we've been forced into man-made boxes. And sometimes we have to choose, do I want the man-made box or I'm going to choose outer darkness? Y'all heard outer darkness? If you grew up in the church, you probably have heard of that. Being thrown out into outer darkness. Separation from God. One is stifling. The man-made box is awfully stifling. And outer darkness is fun and free for a season. For a season. But before you know it, the box that we jumped out of is reclaiming us, but it's in another form until we're suffocating again. We're suffocating once again inside a box of religion and bondage. Now, you might ask, what do you mean? What do you mean about religion and bondage? What do you mean by that? When I say religion and bondage, I mean religion being a system of do's and don'ts that are required, there are required performance in order to be justified in front of man and be accepted by man and sometimes God. That's what we think. Bondage, what is that? It's all about having, if we go to the root cause, bondage is all about having a mindset that doesn't acknowledge the inherent goodness that being made in the image of Christ truly is. See, we forget we're made in the image of God, don't we? We muddle through life and we get all fixated on all the things that aren't right. And instead of coming back to the basis, the foundation of our faith, we forget that at creation, in the Garden of Eden, the Word tells us that God breathed the breath of life into man. That breath of life has not escaped us. That breath of life is still in us. We are still made in the image of God. But yet we say, we can't do that. We won't do that. We hate and we misuse, and yet we also say we're Christians. But Jesus says we will be known by our love. So we can't both hate and love. We're one or the other. This is the conundrum that many of us are trying to find our way through in these days. So these next 5 weeks, may we become more like our Creator God. May kindness and gentleness rule the day. You guys, I dream of a day when we won't think about this life of following Jesus as a try harder, work harder kind of experience. I mean, who wants to do that? Who wants to do that? It's exhausting. Try inviting your friends to that kind of followership. Following Jesus is super difficult if we have to keep trying harder, doing more and more to appease the God that we made out to be some kind of agent of anger that is hard to please. Instead, I hope you'll join me in believing for a not so distant day when we will all embrace the promises of God and believe that He is for us. He's not out to trip us up, but He is working all things out for our good. He says, You and I are the light of the world. So, you know what that means for us? That means when we step into a room, we ought to elevate that room. We shouldn't bring the atmosphere down. We should be elevating every space that we walk into. Because every space we walk into, there goes Jesus too. And where Jesus is, there is light, and there is no darkness at all. It reminds me of this story I heard of two exhausted public servants that were working in their office cubicles down at City Hall. And their department was so busy, the staff had no time off. But these two guys, they kept thinking there had to be a way. And one day they're working away in their cubicles, and suddenly one of them had a great idea. He said, I know how to get some time off. The other guy beside him said, well, how? How are you going to do that? Instead of answering, this guy jumps up, looks for the director, sees no sign of him, jumps up on his desk and kicks out a few ceiling tiles, jumps up, hoists himself up, and then dangles upside down with his legs wrapped around a pipe in the ceiling and just lays there. He's hanging there, face down. And just like that, the director comes down the hall. He sees the worker hanging from the ceiling, and he asks him, what on earth are you doing up there? I'm a light bulb, the public servant said. You need some time off, the director barked. Get out of here. That's an order. I don't want to see you back for a couple more days. The public servant said, yes, sir. He jumped off of that, out of that ceiling tile, down to his computer, logged off, and walked out the door. The second worker was hot on his heels. He wanted some of this too. And the director said, hey, where do you think you're going? He said, I'm leaving too. I got to go home. I can't work in the dark. Make a difference in the space you occupy. Bring so much light in that space that when you leave, it becomes a little bit darker because of all the light you brought in. What is God saying to you these days? Are you hearing from Him? Who are the influential voices in your life? Who are you listening to? Here's the thing. The Apostle John was supremely concerned about the local church and the number of false teachers that had emerged as influential voices in the community. They had gained an audience that enjoyed the pleasing to their ears, feel-good messages that were apparently pervasive and persuasive. He was concerned about where they were getting their information. So, taking the quill to parchment, maybe pen to paper, and in our days, thumbs to iPhone. However you record it, God downloads to John what needs to be spoken, restated, and said again. And it doesn't need to be spoken, restated, and said again in just that ancient world, but also for our world today. Because you guys, today more than ever, there are many competing voices vying for our attention and devotion. They're trying to be our compass. They're trying to tell us what is true north. Don't be misled. Listen for the voice of God. It's the one that always leads home. John says, I'm writing these things. I have written this. This is so important that I've written it down. We might say, hey, message me. Send me a text. I want to hear more. Record this. Write it down. Message me. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks here in 1 John. And this has been, hopefully you all have been reading it. If you haven't, start. Because this has been so refreshing again to dip into this scripture. And starting in verse 5, he says, this is the message we heard from Jesus. He's saying, we're declaring this message to you. God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. Don't lie to yourself. Practice the truth. See, a lot of people that we all know live as though someone has come alongside and flipped off the switch, and the spiritual power in that moment gets turned off for them. God's power turns the light back on again. Because the words of Jesus are actually, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness and will have the light of life. Further, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Verse 7, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But, here it is, but if we confess our sins to him, what does he do? If we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just, he forgives us our sins, and he cleanses us from all wickedness. Some translations say all unrighteousness. So here it is, if we do one thing, the one thing, what is it? We confess. We confess. If we confess our sin, God says, I'll do four things, right? He's going to demonstrate his faithful love. He is faithful. He has always been faithful. He doesn't conjure up forgiveness at the moment that we say, I confess. He has always, his forgiveness is right there. It's not something he does after we confess. Forgiveness is ours. Confession comes, and then we accept his forgiveness. We receive the forgiveness that has always been there. His forgiveness was extended at the moment that he was killed on the cross for our sin. Number two, he demonstrates justice by counting our sins paid in full by Christ. This is another one we forget, isn't it? When we confess, oh, but then I went back and I did it again and again and again. Yep, it's good to say, hey, God, I'm made aware of this moment where I have sinned and I have fallen short. I confess this. But if you confess it and then you walk away and you don't do it anymore, don't receive the guilt and shame that's being brought back on you every time that memory comes up. That's not from God. God has already forgiven you. Don't keep going back and negating the forgiveness he's extended to you. Number three, he forgives our every sins. All of our sins were paid for in the cross, and we can't do anything to remove them from the cross. They're all up there. They're all up there. We are forgiven once and for all. Don't keep bringing it up if you've gotten past it. If that sin no longer plagues you, don't keep bringing it up. Don't negate the work of God. And number four, he continues a deeper work of cleansing from all aspects of sin's defilement. Now, I thought for a minute, what's another word I could use for defilement? I don't really like that word. So as I do sometimes, I went to look for synonyms. And then I went to the dictionary, and here the word defilement, there was an explanation there that was so helpful, and I decided to stick with it, because here's what it said. It said, defilement is the heinous, they used it in a sentence, the heinous defilement of their most sacred site. And I thought, that is the image of God in us. That is us, you and I, as human beings. We are the most sacred site. And so the defilement that happens is on us, our sacred site. God looks on us as a most sacred site. When we confess, let me just remind us that that is saying, I believe that God is faithful to restore me to himself. I love these four things that have jumped out here this morning. Confess our sins to him. We confess, God is faithful, he is just, he forgives us, and he cleanses us. Verse number 10, if we claim we've not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. So we tell the truth. We speak honestly. Now watch your countenance when you do this. When you tell the truth, about your own situation, about your own failings and shortcomings, when you tell the truth, when you confess, watch your countenance. Don't slip into guilt and shame. This isn't our Savior's intent. When we confess, we are free. Confession frees us. We are no longer bound. We are fully equipped. We're filled to the brim and overflowing with the goodness of God. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:4, he says, even before the world was made, God chose us for himself because of his love. He planned that we should be holy and without blame as he sees us. All right, that's 1 John. Now, in 1 John 2, John writes more about this light and dark. So let's go to 1 John 2. And this is what he says. He says, my dear children, I am writing this to you. I'm messaging you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of all the world. We can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. Let me say something about the truth. We often say, I'm telling the truth. This passage says, we must not only tell the truth, but we must do the truth. Do the truth. Truth must be an action in our life. You do the truth. You don't just tell the truth, but you actually live the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. In verse 7, dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment. John's saying, this is not new stuff. It's an old one. You've had it from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another, he's looking back to the Old Testament and he's saying, this old commandment, it's to love one another. It's the same message you've heard before. Yet, it's also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment and you also are living it, for the darkness is disappearing and the true light is shining. Sometimes when we make a change in our lives, when we're walking one way and we recognize that we need to be walking the other way, when we say no to this life and yes to this life, we expect something to happen quickly. And something does happen quickly. The Spirit of God enters and calls us justified. That happens quickly. What doesn't happen quickly is for our light to come on. Not usually. Usually it's a process for our light to come on. Because here, even John says, the darkness is disappearing. He's not saying it has disappeared. He's saying it is a process. It is disappearing. So for us as human beings, taking on this being in this position of saying yes to Jesus, it is a process. Some call it sanctification, but it's a process. Sometimes it's a steady one step in front of the other. Not much happening. There's not a whole lot of spectacular things that you can look at and say, that's progress. Sometimes it is the having the fortitude to put one foot in front of the other and knowing that if you take three steps forward and two back, you've still got one step ahead. So we walk in the light and we choose to live righteously. Verse 9, if anyone claims, I'm living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. If you find any hate in your heart toward another human, I don't have hate. Okay. Check it. Sometimes it's easy to say things and much harder to live them out. Check for greed. Check for avarice. Unforgiveness. These are like the partners in crime with the hate that we carry. See, Christians, you and I, if you're following Jesus, we're notorious for minimizing the hate we carry. We're notorious for minimizing the sin in our own lives. This life of following Jesus is not about saying the right words. There is a place for saying the right words, but that's not all-encompassing. It is about walking it out and exercising the authority we've been given to participate in this life of living in the kingdom. This means we are not living in the darkness of our own way. We're not shunning the light, but life in the kingdom of God simply means we refuse to hate and that we love, having been so deeply immersed in the love of God. When we're so deeply immersed in the love of God, our mindset changes. We begin to think differently. We don't hate. Our minds change. Our hearts change. All of our life changes. See, this morning I want to assure you that if you are following the way of Jesus, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, he has delivered you from bondage and he's delivered you into freedom. We live in spiritual freedom even when the demands of life bog us down. That's when we have to activate joy. We have to throw off the chains that bind us and never let them return again. The light of Jesus is shining bright in you. Get out there. Make a difference in your sphere of influence. Everybody has influence. I don't care if you are in kindergarten. I don't care if you're in middle school, high school, if you're an adult, in an office, or on the assembly line. Wherever you go, you have an opportunity to create something from nothing. You have the ability to take an atmosphere that is dark and creating light. We all have that responsibility. Everybody has influence. Everybody has influence. God's, and you might say, oh, I can't do that. You know what? Stop minimizing who God is. God has all the resources. He is unlimited in what he can give you. And he gives it to you without reserve. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God has everything that you need? That he has all the resources at his disposal for you to live a life that is the light of light, life of light, and not darkness. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter, you haven't read this in a while, read chapter 2 again of the book of Acts. Peter's preaching, and his words pierced their hearts, it says. And those in his hearing, thousands and thousands of people, they said to him and the other apostles, they said, brothers, what should we do? What do we do with this word that we've just heard? It has pierced our hearts. And Peter replies, he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I love, love, love this part. It says, this promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. The decisions we make. And most of us, if you've been here very long, I've said this over and over and over, and I'll continue to say it because most of us are at that age where, not including me, that we have children in the house. We have kids, and those kids are watching us, and they're watching to see how we will live our lives. How will we step into difficult situations? How do we handle conflict? How are we relating to people that are different from us? Our kids are watching us. And what we choose to do will impact the generations that follow us. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. See, we can move the needle. We can live into being what we claim to be, both as followers of Jesus, bringing faith and healing, hope and joy wherever we go, and the people as the people of Restore, connecting with people in the community and bringing hope to every corner of our neighborhoods. We have so much to be thankful for. We must give thanks, be grateful on a regular basis. Always give thanks. These are great days. I know they look dark. I know that they are filled with nonsense and strife and conflict and chaos. I know this. But our perspective must be to look at these days and say, these are beautiful days for the advancement of the cause of Christ. Because it is not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. By his Spirit, we bring light into dark situations and redeem and restore what the enemy meant for evil. I was reminded of the prophet Zechariah when he writes, nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. Zerubbabel was a governor in an ancient city, and he and Joshua were leading the people of Israel out of exile and back to the work of rebuilding the temple. You guys, you and I, we're called to this same calling, to lead people out of exile, out of the bondage of darkness, and back to the rebuilding of their spiritual temples. And again, you might say, I couldn't possibly do that. My question is, what is that? What is it that you can't do? Because in the face of God, we're saying that in the face of God who says, all things are possible. We either believe that or we don't. See, there will come a day that all of our vocabulary will change, and what you thought was impossible suddenly becomes possible because your mindset has shifted, and the kingdom life is not something you have to try for anymore, but it is who you are. It flows out of your very being. You guys, the kingdom life, the Holy Spirit in you is who you are. Zechariah continues. He says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." So step out of your fear. Create. I'm calling you. Create. Move and breathe. Start new ventures, new businesses. Expand, grow, be fruitful, multiply. Don't despise the small beginnings. Step out of darkness into light and grow. You guys, now is the time to not for retreat, but it's the time for expansion and leaning into the purposes that God has placed within you. Do not despise the small beginnings. Have courage in these days. It's a day for the church to be called out of complacency and into places where we have been called to bring repentance, restoration. See, restoration, reconciliation doesn't happen if there's not repentance. And so it has to happen in us first. We're called to this, people. We're called to this. Let the work of God begin in you and I as we bring light to the dark spaces around us. Well, this morning, we have an individual that has asked to be baptized. And I believe that God has been speaking to others in the space this morning. And so, would you stand with me as we close our time together? And I would remind us all that if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful, He is just, He will forgive us our sins, and He cleans us up. He removes the defilement of our hearts. He cleans us up. And when He does that, then He promises that we live in the light as He is in the light. So, let me pray for us. Father, thank You this morning for this word that reminds us again that when we live in the light as You are in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. Then we have relationship with You and those around us. Father, for those places in us that we're still holding back, where we haven't released, when we haven't fully surrendered our lives, God, speak to us even now. Bring those things to light, because we want to live in the light. We don't want the darkness should not penetrate any part of us, because we are shining so brightly. So wherever there is darkness inside of us, God, for every place in our hearts that hasn't been surrendered to You, make it known to us. May we step out of that dark place and let You do what only You can do in us. God, we're grateful for the way that You continue to work in this place, in our hearts, in our lives. And we bless Your name this morning. We're so grateful for Your presence here. And we all said, amen. So I'm just going to extend an invitation. We don't do this very often, but I want to say again this morning that if you have not fully surrendered your life to Jesus, it's not complicated. It is difficult sometimes for us to lay aside the things that keep us in darkness and to step into the light. But I would just encourage you, all of us, if we just hold our hands out in front of us this morning again. This is almost like a practice for Restore. Holding our hands out in front of us, and if you clench your fists really tight, picture that as the things that you're still holding on to. And now, simply, just open your hands. And as you do, think of this as releasing those places in your life that are still unresolved. If you've not said yes to Jesus, maybe we all together would say, Jesus, I give you my life. It's good for us to say that once in a while, to say that again. And so just say it with me. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. It's not a trick question, but I want to pray for anyone that has said that for the first time. And so, God, wherever you see a person this morning, you recognize that voice. You've not heard it before. Maybe you haven't heard it in a long time, but you hear it this morning. Father, for those that have said yes to you for the first time, or they're stepping back into the light, God, I pray that they would have courage for the days ahead, that they would step into this new space for them, and they would experience your deep, abiding peace in ways they've not experienced it before. Give them power. Give them anointing to walk out this walk of faith, this journey of faith. We thank you for the redemption of humanity that came through the blood of Jesus. We're so grateful for that again this morning. And we give you thanks for your generosity to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.